66. Storm Blessings. Is not the destruction we have wrought enough? The worlds you now tread bear the touch and design of Adonalsium. Our interference so far has brought nothing but pain. Feet scraped on the stone outside of Kaladin's cage, one of the jailers checking on him again. Kaladin continued to lie motionless with closed eyes and did not look. In order to keep the darkness at bay, he had begun planning. What would he do when he got out? When he got out? He had to tell himself that forcibly. It wasn't that he didn't trust Dalinar. His mind, though. His mind betrayed him, and whispered things that were not true. Distortions. In his state, he could believe that Dalinar lied. He could believe that the High Prince secretly wanted Kaladin in prison. Kaladin was a terrible guard, after all. He'd failed to do anything about the mysterious countdowns scrawled on walls, and he'd failed to stop the assassin in white. With his mind whispering lies, Kaladin could believe that Bridge Four was happy to be rid of him, that they pretended they wanted to be guards just to make him happy. They secretly wanted to go on with their lives, lives they'd enjoy, without Kaladin spoiling them. These untruths should have seemed ridiculous to him. They didn't. Clink. Kaladin snapped his eyes open, growing tense. Had they come to take him? To execute him? As the king wished? He leaped to his feet, coming down in a battle stance, the empty bowl from his meal held to throw. The jailer at the cell door stepped back, eyes widening.
"Storms, man," he said. "I thought you were asleep." "Well, your time is served. King signed a pardon today. They didn't even strip your rank or position."
The man rubbed his chin, then pulled the cell door open.
"Guess you're lucky."
Lucky. People always said that about Kaladin. Still, the prospect of freedom forced away the darkness inside of him, and Kaladin approached the door. Wary. He stepped out, the guard backing away.
"You are a distrustful one, aren't you?"
the jailer said. A light eyes of low rank.
"Guess that makes you a good bodyguard."
The man gestured for Kaladin to leave the room first. Kaladin waited. Finally, the guard sighed.
"Right, then."
He walked out the doorway into the hall beyond. Kaladin followed, and with each step felt himself traveling back a few days in time. Shut the darkness away. He wasn't a slave. He was a soldier. Captain Kaladin. He'd survived this, what had it been? 2, 3 weeks? This short time back in a cage. He was free now. He could return to his life as a bodyguard. But one thing had changed. "Nobody will ever, ever do this to me again. Not king or general, not bright lord or bright lady. He would die first." They passed a leeward window. Kaladin stopped to breathe in the cool, fresh scent of open air. The window gave an ordinary, mundane view of the camp outside, but it seemed glorious. A small breeze stirred his hair, and he let himself smile, reaching a hand to his chin. Several weeks' growth. He'd have to let Rock shave that.
"Here," the jailer said. "He's free. Can we finally be done with this farce, Your Highness?"
"Your Highness?" Kaladin turned down the hallway to where the guard had stopped at another cell, one of the larger ones set into the hallway itself. Kaladin had been put in the deepest cell, away from the windows. The jailer twisted a key in the lock of the wooden door, then pulled it open. Adolin Colin, wearing a simple, tight uniform, stepped out. He also had several weeks of growth on his face, though the beard was blonde, speckled black. The princeling took a deep breath, then turned toward Kaladin and nodded.
"He locked you away?"
Kaladin said, baffled.
"How? What?"
Adolin turned to the jailer.
"Were my orders followed?" "They wait in the room just beyond, Bright Lord," the jailer said, sounding nervous.
Adolin nodded, moving in that direction. Kaladin reached the jailer, taking him by the arm.
What is happening? The king put Dalinar's heir in here?
The king didn't have anything to do with it, the jailer said. Bright Lord Adolin insisted. So long as you were in here, he wouldn't leave. We tried to stop him, but the man's a prince. We can't storm and make him do anything, not even leave. He locked himself away in the cell and we just had to live with it.
Impossible. Kaladin glanced at Adolin, who walked slowly down the hallway. The prince looked a lot better than Kaladin felt. Adolin had obviously seen a few baths, and his prison cell had been much larger, with more privacy. It had still been a cell. That was the disturbance I heard, Kaladin thought. On that day, early after I was imprisoned, Adolin came and shut himself in. Kaladin jogged up to the man.
Why?
Didn't seem right, you in here, Adolin said, eyes forward.
I ruined your chance to duel Sadeus.
I'd be crippled or dead without you, Adolin said. So I wouldn't have had the chance to fight Sadeus anyway.
The prince stopped in the hallway and looked at Kaladin.
Besides, you saved Renarin.
It's my job, Kaladin said.
Then we need to pay you more, bridge boy, Adolin said, because I don't know if I've ever met another man who would jump unarmored into a fight among six shardbearers.
Kaladin frowned.
Wait, are you wearing cologne? In prison?
Well, there was no need to be barbaric just because I was incarcerated.
Storms, you're spoiled, Kaladin said, smiling.
I'm refined, you insolent farmer, Adolin said.
Then he grinned.
Besides, I'll have you know that I had to use cold water for my baths while here.
Poor boy.
I know.
Adolin hesitated, then held out a hand. Kaladin clasped it.
I'm sorry, he said, for ruining the plan.
Bah! You didn't ruin it, Adolin said. Elikar did that. You think he couldn't have simply ignored your request and proceeded, letting me expand on my challenge to Sadeus? He threw a tantrum instead of taking control of the crowd and pushing forward.
Storming man.
Kaladin blinked at the audacious tone, then glanced toward the jailer, who stood a distance behind, obviously trying to look inconspicuous.
The things you said about Amaram, Adolin said. Were they true?
Every one.
Adolin nodded.
I've always wondered what that man was hiding.
He continued walking.
Wait, Kaladin said, jogging to catch up. You believe me?
My father, Adolin said, is the best man I know. Perhaps the best man alive. Even he loses his temper, makes bad judgment calls, and has a troubled past. Amaram never seems to do anything wrong. If you listen to the stories about him, it's like everyone expects him to glow in the dark and piss nectar. That stinks to me of someone who works too hard to maintain his reputation.
Your father says I shouldn't have tried to duel him.
Yeah, Adolin said, reaching the door at the end of the hallway. Dueling is formalized in a way I suspect you just don't get. A Dark Eyes can't challenge a man like Amaram, and you certainly shouldn't have done it like you did. It embarrassed the king, like spitting on a gift he'd given you.
Adolin hesitated.
Of course, that shouldn't matter to you anymore. Not after today.
Adolin pushed open the door.
Beyond, most of the men of Bridge Four crowded into a small room where the jailers obviously spent their days.
A table and chairs had been shoved to the corner to make room for the 20-something men who saluted Kaladin as the door opened. Their salutes dissolved immediately as they started to cheer.
That sound quashed the darkness until it vanished completely.
Kaladin found himself smiling as he stepped out to meet them, taking hands, listening to Rock make a wisecrack about his beard. Renarin was there in his Bridge Four uniform, and he immediately joined his brother, speaking to him quietly in a jovial way, though he had out his little box that he liked to fidget with.
Kaladin glanced to the side. Who were those men beside the wall?
members of Adolin's retinue. Was that one of Adolin's armorers? They carried some items draped with sheets. Adolin stepped into the room and loudly clapped his hands, quieting Bridge Four.
"It turns out," Adolin said, "that I'm in possession of not one, but two new shard blades and three sets of plate. The Colin Princeton now owns a quarter of the shards in all of Alethkar, and I've been named dueling champion. Not surprising, considering Relis was on a caravan back to Alethkar the night after our duel, sent by his father in an attempt to hide the shame of being beaten so soundly. One complete set of those shards is going to General Kahl, and I've ordered two of the sets of plate given to appropriate light eyes of rank in my father's army."
Adolin nodded toward the sheets.
"That leaves one full set. Personally, I'm curious to know if the stories are true. If a dark eyes bonds a shard blade, will his eyes change color?"
Kaladin felt a moment of sheer panic. Again. It was happening again. The armorers removed the sheets, revealing a shimmering, silvery blade. Edged on both sides, a pattern of twisting vines ran up its center. At their feet, the armorers uncovered a set of plate, painted orange, taken from one of the men Kaladin had helped defeat. "Take these shards and everything changed." Kaladin immediately felt sick, almost cripplingly so. He turned back to Adolin.
"I can do with these as I wish."
"Take them," Adolin said, nodding. "They are yours." "Not anymore," Kaladin said, pointing toward one of the members of Bridge Four.
"Moash, take these. You're now a shard bearer."
All of the color drained from Moash's face. Kaladin prepared himself. Last time. He flinched as Adolin grabbed him by the shoulder, but the tragedy of Amaram's army did not repeat. Instead, Adolin yanked Kaladin back into the hallway, holding up a hand to stop the bridgeman from talking.
"Just a second," Adolin said. "Nobody move."
Then, in a quieter voice, he hissed to Kaladin, "I'm giving you a shard blade and shard plate." "Thank you," Kaladin said. "Moash will use them well. He's been training with Zael."
"I didn't give them to him. I gave them to you."
"If they're really mine, then I can do with them as I wish. Or are they not really mine?"
"What's wrong with you?" Adolin said. "This is the dream of every soldier, dark-eyed or light. Is this out of spite? Or is it..."
Adolin seemed completely baffled.
"It's not out of spite," Kaladin said, speaking softly.
"Adolin, those blades have killed too many people I love. I can't look at them, can't touch them, without seeing blood."
"You'd be a light-eyed," Adolin whispered. "Even if it didn't change your eye color, you'd count as one. Shardbearers are immediately of the fourth dawn. You could challenge Amaram. Your whole life would change."
"I don't want my life to change because I've become a light-eyes," Kaladin said. "I want the lives of people like me, like I am now, to change. This gift is not from me, Adolin. I'm not trying to spite you or anyone else. I just don't want a shard blade."
"That assassin is going to come back," Adolin said. "We both know it. I'd rather have you there with shards to back me up. I'll be more useful without them."
Adolin frowned.
"Let me give the shards to Moash," Kaladin said. "You saw, on that field, that I can handle myself fine, without a blade and plate. If we shard up one of my best men, there will be three of us to fight him, not just two."
Adolin looked into the room, then skeptically back at Kaladin.
"You are crazy, you realize?"
"I'll accept that."
"Fine," Adolin said, striding back into the room. "You, Moash, was it? I guess those shards are yours now. Congratulations. You now outrank 90% of Alethkar. Pick yourself a family name and ask to join one of the houses under Dalinar's banner, or start your own if you are inclined."
Moash glanced at Kaladin for confirmation. Kaladin nodded. The tall bridgeman walked to the side of the room, reaching out a hand to rest his fingers on the shard blade. He ran those fingers all the way down to the hilt, then seized it, lifting the blade in awe. Like most, it was enormous, but Moash held it easily in one hand. The Heliodor set into the pommel flashed with a burst of light. Moash looked to the others of Bridge Four, a sea of wide eyes and speechless mouths. Glory Spren rose around him, a spinning mass of at least 24 spheres of light.
"His eyes," Lopin said. "Shouldn't they be changing?"
"If it happens," Adolin said, "it might not be until he's bonded the thing. That takes a week."
"Put the plate on me,"
Moash said to the armorers, urgent as if he feared it would be taken from him.
"Enough of this,"
Rock said as the armorers began to work, his voice filling the room like captive thunder.
"We have party to give. Great Captain Caladan, storm-blessed and dweller in prisons, you will come eat my stew now. Ha! I have been cooking it as long as you were locked away."
Caladan let the bridgemen usher him out into the sunlight, where a crowd of soldiers waited, including many of the bridgemen from other crews. These cheered, and Caladan caught sight of Dalinar waiting off to the side. Adolin moved to join his father, but Dalinar watched Caladan. What did that look mean? So pensive. Caladan looked away, accepting the greetings of bridgemen as they clasped his hand and clapped him on the back.
"What did you say, Rock?" Caladan said. "You cooked a stew for each day I was locked in prison?"
"No," Teft said, scratching his beard. "The storming horn eater has been cooking a single pot, letting it simmer for weeks now. He won't let us try it and insists on getting up at night and tending it."
"His celebratory stew," Rock said, folding his arms. "Must simmer a long time."
"Well, let's get to it then," Caladan said. "I could certainly use something better than prison food."
The men cheered, piling off toward their barrack. As they moved, Caladan grabbed Teft by the arm.
"How did the men take it?" he asked. "My imprisonment."
"There was talk of breaking you out," Teft admitted softly. "I beat some sense into them. Ain't no good soldier who hasn't spent a day or two locked up. It's part of the job. They didn't demote you, so they just wanted to slap your wrist a little. The men saw the truth of it."
Caladan nodded. Teft glanced at the others.
"There's quite a lot of anger among them about this Amaram fellow, and a lot of interest. Anything about your past gets them talking, you know."
"Lead them back to the barrack," Caladan said. "I'll join you in a moment."
"Don't take too long," Teft said. "The lads have been guarding this doorway for 3 weeks now. You owe them their celebration."
"I'll be along," Caladan said. "I just want to say a few things to Moash."
Teft nodded and jogged off to wrangle the others. The prison's front room felt empty when Caladan walked back in. Only Moash and the armorers remained. Caladan walked up to them, watching Moash make a fist with his gauntlet.
"I'm still having trouble believing this, Cal,"
Moash said as the armorers fit on his breastplate.
"Storms! I'm now worth more than some kingdoms."
"I wouldn't suggest selling the shards, at least not to a foreigner," Caladan said. "That sort of thing can be considered treason."
"Sell?"
Moash said, looking up sharply. He made another fist.
"Never."
He smiled, a grin of pure joy as the breastplate locked into place.
"I'll help him with the rest," Caladan said to the armorers.
They withdrew reluctantly, leaving Caladan and Moash alone. He helped Moash fit one of the pauldrons to his shoulder.
"I've had a lot of time to think in there," Caladan said.
"I can imagine."
"The time led me to a few decisions," Caladan said as the section of plate locked into place. "One is that your friends are right."
Moash turned to him sharply.
"So?"
"So tell them I agree with their plan," Caladan said. "I'll do what they want me to in order to help them accomplish their task."
The room grew strangely still. Moash took him by the arm.
"I told them you'd see."
He gestured to the plate he wore.
This will help, too, with what we must do. And once we've finished, I think a certain man you challenged might need the same treatment.
I only agree, Kaladin said, because it's for the best. For you, Moash, this is about revenge, and don't try to deny it. I really think it is what Alethkar needs. Maybe what the world needs.
Oh, I know, Moash said, putting on the helmet, visor up. He took a deep breath, then took a step and stumbled, nearly crashing to the ground. He steadied himself by grabbing a table, which he crunched beneath his fingers, the wood splitting. He stared at what he'd done, then laughed.
This is going to change everything. Thank you, Kaladin. Thank you.
Let's get those armorers and help you take it off, Kaladin said.
No. You go to Rock's storming feast. I'm going to the sparring grounds to practice. I won't take this off until I can move in it naturally.
Having seen how much work Renarin was putting into learning his plate, Kaladin suspected that might take longer than Moash wanted. He didn't say anything, instead stepping back out into the sunlight. He enjoyed that for a moment, eyes closed, head toward the sky. Then he jogged off to rejoin Bridge 4.